Hello there and welcome to the Developer's Guide to Windows 10. This is the Build 10 240 update.
Yeah.
With me I've got Shen Chowan and I'm Andy Wigley. Now Shen, you're going to take us through the great cool tooling we've got in Visual Studio 2015 for XAML based apps.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So we've got about half an hour to go through some of the cool stuff. So let me show you the agenda. So these are the points I really want to cover because I think they're sort of, as a developer, I don't know about you, I spend most of my time in Visual Studio. And actually, being productive there means I get more work done and I get to go home and play more Xbox, right?
Yeah. So, get the priorities right here.
So it's a win-win all around. So I want to show you some of the cool things that's coming with Visual Studio 2015. And as a developer of universal Windows apps, this is a great place to learn some of the cool stuff. So, as always, with Visual Studio stuff, probably having a PowerPoint presentation isn't the way to go.
No.
So after the agenda, I'm just going to go straight.
You mean
into
you're not
code.
Going to show slides and lots of screenshots?
I was tempted to, but I thought, you know what, this is a.
Okay. All right. We'll take the demo.
This is my preferred route.
So,
hopefully we can all see this. So here I have an app. It's a Photos filter app. It is, of course, a Windows 10 app. So I'm just going to load this up. You probably notice. Pretty quickly, and I'm going to load up the diagnostic tools as well. This is what loads up. But this app is pretty slow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see here, actually, it's got, you know, I've got my memory footprint. All of a sudden, there's a massive spike.
Oh,
and then it
that's
sort of
where
stops.
The images, obviously, kind of.
Yeah, and it's actually getting images from the cloud and everywhere else on my local drive.
Yeah.
Quite a few pictures of me on my local machine. Makes sense.
So,
what I want to do first is I noticed, you know what, this has got to be something to do with the load times that I've got here. So I'm going to show you one of the cool features of Visual Studio, and that's the breakpoint stuff we've got. So I'm going to punt that load images is probably where I need to start looking. But I don't really know where. I mean, it does quite a lot of method calls, so I'm just going to start this up again. Now, interestingly enough,
Straight into that.
That was pretty quick. So I'm going to just step through and hit F10. And notice here, actually, it's now telling me the time of how long it takes.
If I
click that, it actually tells me where in this chart it was as well. But I mean, 1 millisecond here or there is not going to make a big difference. So I know it's not that. And I'm thinking this is not going to cause much issue just from developer background. Now, get images from cloud. I'm guessing that this might have something to do with it, but let's be sure. So the one thing I want to do is, as well as just doing that, I want to go to the memory usage here. And I want to take a snapshot.
All right.
I just want to understand. So
it's 319 objects.
Yeah, it's not very big. That's 319 for people that can't see.
Yep.
Okay, and I'm going to hit F10 again. You see it's gone to the app, and I think we found our problem.
Right. Wow. Yes. Cool. Okay. So just that was just stepping through that one method.
Stepping through that one
we were
method.
We're waiting. Get images from cloud, and that was 12.682 milliseconds. For those who
correct.
Can't read that.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And if I take another snapshot again, you can see actually my memory usage has gone up.
So
I know there's got to be something wrong there too. But for now, what I want to work out is, you know, why did it take, you know, so long? So let's just quickly go to this method. So let's stop this here.
Yep.
Let's F12 there, and you can see. Conveniently, it's right below the method I was at. So, as most developers, we sort of have an inkling as to where problems lie, and I'm pretty certain it's not in this line, and I don't think it's in any of these lines, to be honest, because all it's doing here is it's just going to fetch a single JSON file.
Yep.
It doesn't do anything too much.
Okay.
Just serialization, possibly.
Can be.
Yeah, so let's stick a breakpoint there. Let's stick a breakpoint there.
Yeah.
And then by the looks of it, it gets some of the local pictures from a picture library and it goes through.
That's just getting a folder reference and create get or create folder. That shouldn't be anything.
Yeah. So I'm just going to run this through again.
All right.
So we'll run that. So here we go. We'll put it there.
So we're only 1.3 seconds. That was quick.
That's pretty low as well. That's like 212 milliseconds. Yeah. So I'm going to go through a bit more. And it looks like it's got my images now. It's going to go through my image list.
Yeah.
So that's okay. I think we may have found our problem.
I think so, yeah.
So you can see it took...
For one, that wasn't too long, but then you multiply that by many, many times. Yeah. And Oh, was there wait task or in all tasks?
Yeah, so actually, I think one of the key things here is actually, maybe because I'm downloading the images sequentially, what I could do is actually do something like this. So I have a list of tasks here. And what that task when all will do, which I'll show you in a minute, what it's essentially going to do is it's going to say, well, when they're all ready, then you can await
it. So you get a collection of tasks and then just going to fire them all off and kind of wait so you can take advantage of parallelization.
So let's see how long it takes to get to this line here. So it'll load up again. So I'm just going to hit run. What it's going to do is it's going to calculate from this particular point in time, this breakpoint, how long it takes for me to get to my task when all.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just continue that. Rather from here. So it was 500 just under 500 milliseconds to get to the JSON.
500 to this point, and now we're going to see
from
that next bit.
Oh. 245. So we're pretty quick.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Because actually what we're doing is we're making the request, but we aren't waiting for the images to come back.
Right.
Which is the key thing.
Yeah.
So we continue. So I think that's pretty much as quick as our network requests are going to get. But if you remember earlier, we had that memory spike, which just seemed pretty high. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not really loading that many images that I could see a spike. So I'm going to quickly stop this. And I'm going to go through that part of the tool again. So let's go back here, in fact, up to the top. And I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go here. Just make sure I remove the other breakpoints.
OK.
So we'll start it up. Go to my diagnostics tool. You'll find actually these days this automatically just loads up. Let me pin it, because actually I'm going to take a snapshot. And I've noticed people don't use a snapshot tool so much, but it's fantastic. It really is amazing stuff. So you can see here I've hit there, and I've sort of got that memory spike at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm going to actually just take another snapshot. And you can see it's got a big increase. I'm going to view the heap at this point.
All right.
So this is going to show me the managed heap.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about this is you can see I've already organized it by size. And you can see there are a couple of things. Now, the one thing here is some of this is framework stuff. But actually, I've noticed that this is not framework stuff. This is the photo filter image item that I have on my project. So actually, maybe it's worth just having a look here. So let me scroll this up. It's always a bit challenging with
projecting. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, screens are always designed for such high res. Okay, so you can see here. So when I select that, you can see paths to root are people that are referencing this type.
Okay.
That's not what I'm really interested in. What I'm really interested in are the reference types. So these are the types within that particular image item.
Okay.
And you can see here that actually strings, there's a lot of them
in
size wise. But actually, you know what? I know that 15,000 bytes of strings isn't a big deal. It shouldn't slow me down. What I have noticed here, based on what I know about the platform, is it's using here a bitmap image.
Right.
Now, the size isn't very large, because actually the bitmap image does stuff away from the managed heap too. And maybe I think that's where there's a possible
It's got a managed bit, but it's got a lot of native.
Because it's doing image manipulation in essence. Right, yeah. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to right click here. I'm going to go to definition. And actually, I'm going to look for this bitmap image, which is just here, actually, this mPhoto. So I'm going to just do a quick find on mPhoto.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just see if there's anything here that I think, you know what, this just doesn't look right. So this is the property, the photo property. I'm assuming this is what's been bound to. As you can see here, there's a null check. So I'm pretty safe in thinking that this isn't really causing an issue.
Nope.
This seems pretty bog standard code. This here seems kind of interesting, actually, because load image from disk, it looks like actually whether I've viewed the image or not, I'm creating that bitmap image.
Yep.
But maybe that's not the problem. Let's have a quick look. Oh, no. So maybe that is. So let's go there. Now, I'm going to hazard a guess that actually commenting this out is probably the safest thing to do, and it'll still work.
Yeah. So the thing about this is obviously, you get the thumbnail. Because that's obviously what you show in the summary view. But then, if somebody zooms in on an image, then you would want to actually load the full bitmap image, but only when you need to, not every time.
So let's see what happens.
That's the theory, anyway. Huh?
That's the theory.
Yeah.
Well, I like how it sounds. So let's do this. Let's take this out and let's take this out. Let me just increase the diagnostic tool there. I'm going to hit continue now.
Yep.
Let's have a quick look. And you'll see that we're at 40. And actually, the rise is pretty small. It wasn't as big a jump as it was before. So that's a cool feature. You know, the diagnostics tool has helped me sort of diagnose from the breakpoint point of view. I was able to go and do cool things like working out the time between points without having to run the whole profile and things like that. Just looking at the simple process memory here, I was able to work out, okay, looks like there's a memory problem. Let me take snapshots. Let me look at the heat. I was very quickly able to diagnose where issues were. So there's one other cool thing that actually was released with the Visual Studio that I want to show you.
Yep.
So we're just going to run this. I'm going to actually remove the code for cloud. Let's try and speed this up a bit. There's no need to wait for it now. So one of the nice things that's actually happened in Visual Studio is to do with link queries. So I don't know if you've ever used the immediate window much.
Yeah, I'll do queries and try stuff out, yeah.
Have you ever tried to use the immediate window when you've got a link query?
I can't say that I have.
So before, when you had a link query and you tried to use the immediate window, it would tell you, oh, sorry, I can't do this, because link works all on deferred execution and, you know, expressions, and it was never very good at that. But now, in the immediate window, I can do something like this. And I know there's something called Pomodoro. Pomodoro. Splash is one of the folders.
Okay.
What should I do? Make sure I get this right.
So Ida folder name
equals Pomodoro. Gotta make sure I get this
casing right.
And I'm just gonna to list it just because I actually just want it to show you what's possible after.
Okay.
And hopefully if I've got that right, it'll have a bit of a think. And then it'll probably run through that line of code in my app. So this is debugging, so it's going to be a bit slower. It's evaluating this expression on the fly. And you can see actually now it's pulled back all those items which you weren't able to do before.
All right.
So it's kind of cool. So you can actually do link queries directly in the immediate window, which was never really possible before. So that's kind of a neat thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the core demos. So I'm now going to switch back to maybe something a bit more simpler when we come to demos. So let's go back to my defer loading demo. So let's remove this, and let's remove all of this defer loading stuff. So what I want to essentially do is I want to show you some of the cool stuff that's come with a live visual tree, which you might have got a little bit of a sneak peek at earlier.
Yep.
So if I have a look and I go to run this app, you'll see now there is a new thing called Live Visual Tree. So I'm going to snap that to the side and bring Visual Studio in.
Yep.
So the key two things here is a Live Visual Tree and the Live Visual Property Explorer. This might be a bit of a challenge, but we'll try and work with it. So one of the things you can do now, it's similar to like a DOM Explorer. I can actually go and click this icon here and I can actually select
Live selective items.
So I'm going to choose this red one here.
Yeah.
And you can see it's found it there and it's got properties. And I might say, actually, well, I'm not sure I want this to be red. You know, I might say, well, actually, pink might be more suited. I don't know, you know.
You could have something here. There's something we need to propose this as the new Microsoft logo.
Yeah, so you can. So the nice thing about this is actually I'm still debugging the application.
Yeah.
I'm able to walk the visual tree. I can see where things are in the visual tree itself. And I can change properties. So even if I said, actually, maybe pink isn't right. Maybe I should have red, but with half opacity. So I can make all those changes, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, nice.
So let's stop that. Now the other
And that's obviously that's not changing your XAML, that's just actually changing the the current in-tree value of these.
Correct.
Things. So you can try stuff out in with a live running app. Yeah.
Correct. Now the next thing I want to show you is something called Peak View.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see here that I've got a button. And at the moment there is no code behind for this button. So one of the things you can do here is if I do click, like you'd normally do, add an event handler. Now normally the done thing here would be probably to go and say, you know what, I'm just going to F12 into this, and there's that whole thing where you end up jumping into the XAML CS, right? Yep. Well, actually, one of the things you can do is you can either right-click and do peak definition, or there's the Alt F12. And what's happened here is, let me try and show you a bit better, is actually within the designer itself, mm-hmm. I'm now seeing the event handler for that button.
Right.
So I could do whatever I wanted and write, you know, like whatever code should go here.
Oh, that's much more, yeah, much more convenient than actually cutting backwards and forwards all the time. Yeah.
And the beauty about this actually is, you say, okay, well, great, you've done an event handler, but what about things like theme brushes? Mm-hmm. You know, I can do Alt F12 on that. And all of a sudden now, this is from generic XAML, so this is not even my solution. This is actually coming from, you know, the Windows
the kits, central,
standard kits and stuff. So I can have a look and see, oh, right, okay, I see what color these are, and I might just randomly go and choose something or another. And it's a great way to actually just do exploration. So I can explore like styles, even though they're not really there. So I could say, well, actually, maybe I want to change it to the media button brush and things like that. You know, like, so you can do all sorts of nice things like that, which is cool.
Yeah.
So we've shown you a bit about the peak view, mm-hmm. the live visual tree.
Yep.
Now, this is one of my favorites, actually. I use it quite a bit. I know people love to do the whole debug write line or console.write line. Well, actually, one thing that they're now doing is if you click a breakpoint here, you'll see that actually you've got this cog, this
what's that?
Settings. So if I click that, now it's always been there, but maybe it's not been so, you know, front and center. And now what you're allowed to do, exactly. And now what you can do is actually you can just click action or put a condition, and you can say like clicked. Or if I wanted to, I could probably do E. So if you put them in the curly braces, you can actually get the event args, and say, you know, like, I don't know, original source toString if it's got something there.
Right.
And just, you know, I can say continue execution, so don't even break.
Yeah, so it's just a trace effectively.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
And now when I run this up, and I'll try and show the output window.
If you can find it.
Yeah, you'll have to excuse the million and one window I've opened here. It's always a
Visual Studio, really, in these days, it's the best thing is to actually have a dual monitor or triple monitor thing.
I know.
In presentation, it's challenging.
There you go. So when
clicked it, yeah.
There you go. So, and that's just a great thing. So
now
if you're trying to debug your code.
Really use that.
Yeah, because the problem is, like, people always put the debug write lines in, and then you realize that you've got to go back and remove them. And there's a whole, the nice thing about this is actually, if I run that up again, if I do this. But actually, even though you can see it's there, I can actually midway through actually even change the condition if I want or the action.
Right.
So I could actually say, well, actually, maybe that's not what I need. Maybe I need something else.
Yeah.
And you can just go ahead and just make whatever changes you need, which is quite nice. So there's never a need to go and, you know, stop the debugger and go and do all that again. I can just.
Right. Nice. Yeah. Good. Oh, that's really nice productivity.
Yeah, exactly. So let me stop that. Let's go back to the slides. So, give me a second.
Yeah, back to extend.
I've got to go to extend.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will appear there. So, great. So, quick summary. This is probably the busiest slide I've got for today. So, we talked about the diagnostic tools, and you saw me there go through the memory snapshots of figuring out what's wrong. You saw I got CPU usage between my breakpoints, which is kind of cool.
Nice. I
showed you as well the conditional and action breakpoints. There is an Alt F9 to see if you're into your keyboard shortcuts.
I never remember those things. Yeah. I'm UI. I like the cog.
Cog. The peak view, absolutely, you know, a must have if you're going to be writing UWP apps in XAML.
Yep.
The live visual tree, I think that's a fantastic tool too. It definitely allows you to get more hands-on and understand where your visual tree is and how you can then change the properties of things that you see in the live visual tree property.
So lots of cool new stuff to help you make your life as a XAML-based developer more productive. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, cool.
So with that, I think I'm done.
Yeah. All right, great. Thanks, Shen. That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, so that's we've got a 10-minute break now, and then we're going to give way And Jeff and David are going to come in, and we've got to wrap up today's content. We're now shifting gears, and we're going to give you an hour of looking at the web platform for Windows 10 UWP, and take you through all the cool, great new stuff we've got in that. And for us, if you're watching the live event, we're going to be back tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
For a whole, we've got loads of great new stuff tomorrow. You know, the more personal computing stuff, the Cortana speech, Windows Hello, and all this kind of inking and this kind of thing.
The store.
The store, of course, yeah. App-to-app communication, app services, the cloud, and more. Loads of great stuff tomorrow. So please join us then, and thanks for watching.
Thank you.